Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, brought to you by Digitex. Office supplies at huge savings?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Oh, man. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer joining you along with Brendan Escott. We are in Seattle. The Oilers and the Kraken tonight. That is an 8 o'clock Mountain Standard Time puck drop. Cam Moon, myself, Rob Brown, Reed Wilkins on the Oilers Radio Network. Games also on NHL Hockey on Rogers with Jack Michaels, Louis DeBrus, Gene Principe. And I'll be making a quick appearance, I think, in the second intermission of tonight's game. Let's get to Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey and Rogers. He's brought to you every Friday by Mid-City Construction Management, providing you with the highest quality and the most cost-effective solutions in the safest way. Visit mid-city.ca. That's mid-city.ca. Hello, Elliot. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I want to read you a text on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. But first, a question, because I think you know the answer. Which team currently has the highest winning percentage in the National Hockey League?
Which team currently has the highest winning percentage in the NHL?
Yes.
Well, since I'm on Edmonton Radio, I'm going to guess Calgary.
No, it's Edmonton at 762.
Oh, sorry.
I want to read this text from Rob, who says, Bob, it would be nice to see the Oilers pick up some extra points for the games that they do lose. They're one of only four teams who haven't managed to get any. Calgary has 5 points from that alone. That one comes to us from Rob in Edmonton. And I'm thinking to myself, because we just talked in the previous segment, like, I think Edmonton can improve its 5-on-5 play. I think they'll probably add two bottom six forwards one way or the other by the end of the season, either by trade or, you know, Dylan Holloway gets recalled from the minors after the Olympics, or who knows, maybe Archibald comes back. But I think Edmonton will have greater depth at forward, Elliot. And Mike Smith is going to come back at some point. They're going to have a full complement of defensemen at some point. But I don't know if they can have much better than a 762 winning percentage. Like, at the end of the day, they're still 16-5. And we get a texter from a guy saying, oh, they got to get more points, more loser points on nights where they...
Some people are never happy.
Like, I saw the Athletics rankings today, and they had Edmonton 7th, and they had real concerns about Edmonton's 5-on-5 play. And if you watch the first two periods of the game against Pittsburgh,
Elliot. Is this going to be like the Oilers' grievance segment? Like, is that where we're going?
I think it's legit. Like, I'm saying the team does need to improve its 5-on-5 play. Pittsburgh was better. Of course, Edmonton's got great special teams, as you know. It's just interesting. Like, it's interesting that they're... I got to tell you, even I'm kind of... Like, I thought Edmonton would be top 8. I'm kind of surprised they're 16-5 right now. You know what I mean? And it's not that I don't believe in the team or the group. It's just, you know, you're quarter way of the way into the season. The team's got the best winning percentage in the league. I didn't think, especially given no Mike Smith, some injuries on defense. I'm a little bit surprised they're in this position, Elliot. What about you?
I don't know if surprised is the right word. I guess if you would have told me at the beginning of the year that Smith was going to be down for a significant amount of time, your goaltending duo was going to be Koskinen and Skinner, that your record would be as good as it is, I might have been surprised a bit. But those guys have played really well, and the team has played really hard. I think that, like every team, you get tested by injuries. You guys have had some pretty key ones in goal and on defense with Nurse. but you've got two, you know, nuclear weapons there, and you've got some other guys playing really well. You know, you've got a killer power play in the regular season that makes a huge difference. In the playoffs, it makes a huge difference. You just don't expect to get as many of them. You know, I think there's a lot to like about, you know, the way you guys are playing. It's clear the group believes in itself. Koskinen and Skinner have given them some confidence with the way they've done. Like, when I watch you guys play, like, in the past few years, there were times when I thought, like, I don't know if find a way to lose is the right answer, but there were games that you could win that you would lose. This game, like, the other night I'm watching you guys against Pittsburgh, and it's a tight game. They're right there. It's 2-2. I really believed watching it that you guys were going to find a way to win it. I think that as a group, that's a team right now, Bob, that thinks they're going to find a way to win games, right? And I think that's huge for you.
Yeah, well, you know, Craig Mitavich was on the second intermission of the television broadcast, and we just kind of looked at each other right after Chuba Hubbard was on the air, and, you know, we're like, they're getting drilled, and I looked at Matt Thiessen, he's like, you know, and I'm like, yep, win a period, win the game, and that's exactly what happened. Very quickly, Stuart Skinner will start, Brendan Perlini is in for Tyler Benson, and the Oilers will have Yamamoto with McDavid, Puljujärvi with Draisaitl, and Cassian down on the third line with McLeod and Vogel. So there's a quick update. Jack Michael's just putting that out. So there's our lines for us. Let's get to it around the league, and we'll start in Montreal. Today was the day Jeff Gordon, the new president for the Canadiens, multiple references to Jeff Molson. Found that interesting. I found his response in the Patrick Waugh question to be fairly interesting as well. Not an easy situation for an Anglophone to go in. I thought he handled himself, an American as well, going in to Montreal. Your overall assessment of what you saw this morning from the Canadiens' new president?
You know, I don't know. I think that whole thing about Gordon being Anglophone or American, like, at the end of the day, they just want to win. Yeah. I think it is important that you communicate I think they're doing it right. Put the guy in charge who's the best person for it, but make sure you have somebody that can communicate with the chunk of the province that either speaks French first or doesn't speak English at all. Like, other than that, I don't know, you know, obviously I'm not hardcore Francophone, but the thing that I care most about is putting organizations in a position where they can win. And to me, what they're trying here is putting themselves in the best position they can win. You know, I thought it was interesting they said that the GM search likely not before Christmas. The coach is going to finish the rest of the year. But, you know, I think it's pretty clear to me that, you know, Gordon's not coming in here, like, you know, like just with a broom sweeping people out just because, which I think is a stupid approach. I think yep. He's going to listen to what everybody has to say and kind of go from there. And, you know, I think it sounds to me like he's going to go to some players and say, look, if we clear this out and start all over again, how do you feel about that? Do you want to be here for it? Do you want to go elsewhere? You know, I think some of those questions are going to be asked.
Well, I mean, 100%, you need to have at least one of those two guys in that role that's, you know, fluently bilingual. I mean, it's of all the places to go around, for me, Montreal and Chicago are my two favorite arenas to go into. And it is a religion in Montreal. They know the game. Their ability as fans to read and react a game from a broadcaster's perspective, and when the Oilers, you know, the Oilers have a nuclear deterrent in Connor McDavid that's a talent that's not from this world. You can feel the crescendo and the nervousness and the anxiousness in that building. And it's awesome to call a game from. So they love it. And I'm all day on board with the fact that, you know, really in theory, the general manager and the head coach probably should be fluently bilingual in that marketplace. So that's a good thing. I'd love to get Josh Anderson. They got a lot. It was brought up during the press. I did not know this, but they have the most amount of players signed to 3-plus-year contracts in the NHL of any team in the league. That's going to be, if they're going to do a bit of a rebuild here, it could be a little bit prohibitive in this cap world. Do you not agree, Elliot?
Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. Like, they have a lot of guys signed long term, and you're going to have to figure out, you know, how you're going to do around that. And, you know, but the thing is, they have assets. You know, we've talked about Sherratt before, Bob. He's an asset if they want to move him. I think Toffoli would be too. I think you could do pretty well for Toffoli. And I think that that's where some of the, you know, the first decisions are going to come from. I think Petrie too, if they wanted to move Petrie and he wanted to go. He's another guy who you could do. So I think they have...
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Pieces. I think the biggest question is, like, how far are they willing to go here, or how far do they want to go here?
I'd love to get Josh Anderson. Love him. Love him. Can skate. He's tough. He can score. He's out 2 to 4 weeks as well. They got a lot of injuries right now. Like, they got a lot of guys. I mean, Gallagher's on, who was born in Edmonton here, COVID protocol list right now. Petrie's out of the lineup this weekend. Obviously, the whole situation. Speaking of Carey Price, have you had a chance to talk to anybody? The Canadian Olympic team, I know the Board of Governors meetings are taking place next week down in Florida. There's meetings prior to that with the Canadian Olympic team. Is you have to have an initial list in. So
yeah, he's on it.
Well, yeah, obviously he would be. I mean, there might have been a guy that we just saw here, Tristan Jarry. Not sure he would have been on that initial list that you have to have put forward for the IIHF.
He was not on the initial list.
Right? So is Carey, what do you think is going to happen with Canada's goaltending? Is Carey Price?
Well, I think Price wants to play.
Okay.
I think he does. Obviously there's a bigger issue here, and that's his mental health. And we know that he's back with the organization. He's kind of skating around, but he's not close to playing yet, right? So,
right.
You know, the number one thing is we've got a little over 4 weeks until we know if they're going or not. He's got to get himself ready to play and playing shape. But I think all things being equal, Bob, if he's healthy enough mentally and physically, I think he's going to want to play, and I think they're going to want him. So, but we have to work. But there's a lot of, you know, variables at play here, obviously.
All right. Let's hit on some quick hitters, and we're going to start with Evander Kane.
Yep.
Going to have to do your research there, aren't you, if you're going to take a swing
well,
on it, obviously.
It's just that it's so tough. Like, I always worry about tripping myself up here by saying the wrong thing. You're right, Bob. I think it's the best way to say it is you have to do your research. And that's one of the things when I was talking to other teams this week, they're asking themselves, okay, what is there anything else here that we need to know? And that's what they're doing. They're asking if there's anything else they need to know. There was a wild night a couple nights ago. I'm just so careful with divorce because I've seen it up front, and it's a really difficult thing for everybody involved. We'll see how that plays out and how teams feel about that. From a hockey point of view, if it's $7 million cap hit, it's not happening. If it's a $3.5 million cap hit and the Sharks will let it be known that they'll retain 50%, then I think there's more interest potentially. If another team's involved, which takes the cap hit even lower than that, I also think there's interest. I think it comes down to, though, you know, how comfortable are you with this? And it's a challenge. There's no question about that.
Jake DeBrow, we'll let you blow out the butane there for a second. We know you're recovering here from a little bit of a day-to-day situation. But Jake DeBrusk, what are you hearing on that front?
A lot. I think the Bruins are willing to accommodate this, Bob. I think they're willing to do it. The toughest thing, though, right now is that they're in a race for the playoffs. They have some games in hand. They got a big win last night. But, you know, they're in a battle. They don't want to make themselves worse. So I think while they're willing to accommodate it, they have to do it to a point where it's sensible for them. I think there is a lot of interest. I think the only thing that makes people nervous about DeBrusk is the qualifying offer at a time where it's a flat cap. But if Jake goes somewhere and plays well, that solves a lot of that problem. But I do think there's a lot of interest. I like I said, I've heard that the Bruins are willing to do it. But I think the biggest concern that they have right now is they really can't afford to be thin, and they can't afford to do anything that doesn't keep them at equal strength or better strength than they are now. So that's the challenge.
Is the shoe going to drop in Philadelphia? I mean, Chuck Fletcher has a reputation for being a very patient man, but I think they've lost seven games in a row.
Yes. Well, you know, I think that, you know, you can't come out on Tuesday and say we need to be patient, have a rough one Thursday, and then, okay, we've got 3 days off, we're going to make a change. Like it's almost like the worst possible thing you can do. You know, Philly next week, they have Colorado and Tampa back-to-back Sunday and Monday. They have Tuesday off. They go to Jersey on Wednesday. They have Thursday off, and they play back-to-back Friday and Saturday in Vegas and Arizona. That is a brutal 5 games in 7 days stretch. I think that will determine where we go. And it's an enormous challenge, Bob. I know, you know, people in Edmonton aren't going to have much sympathy for the travel woes of the Eastern Conference Philadelphia Flyers, where a lot of their trips are really short. That is a brutal, brutal schedule.
I haven't had a lot of empathy for the Philadelphia Flyers since about the mid-1970s, Elliot. So one of my greatest moments
as
a kid was...
You beat them twice when it mattered. Don't forget that.
Yes, and one of my favorite players of all time beat one of their guys decisively in one of the first Sunday afternoon games I ever watched in 1974 when the Big Bird pulled Dave Schultz out of the herd and Andre Moose DuPont jumped third man in for about the 649th time in his career. Other than the Eric Lindros era, because I loved Eric Lindros, I thought he was a way better player than people give him credit for still to this day. I was never a big Flyers fan, but I do like Chuck Fletcher. He's a really nice man. I'm cheering for Carter Hart, but that's a tough situation there in Philly right now.
Well, you know, I have to tell you that if you would have said at the beginning of the year that Hart and Jones would have been fine, you never would have thought the Flyers were in this position. The one thing that's really stood out to me there this year is we've been talking a lot about Pettersson in Vancouver and the nightmare year he's had.
I know where you're going.
The guy in Philly is Provorov.
Yep.
It's just watching him this year has been really, really challenging. Really challenging. He's clearly not himself. And, you know, it's never one person's fault, but it's a big problem for them.
Elliot, I'm going to circle back to the Oilers, tied into Toronto, and I know Bunting's a real good pickup for the Leafs, but this is year 14 of me doing the games. I was on the periphery when Chris Pronger came in for a year and Kevin Lowe made that trade. And Pronger obviously was a huge impact on the Oilers that year, but he didn't stay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we talk about you have to have as much information as possible. Brad Holland, Ken Holland's son, worked for the Maple Leafs organization, and the Oilers targeted Zach Hyman. And in the game against Pittsburgh, their best forward, when there were other forwards struggling with the pace and the competitiveness of Pittsburgh's attack, the one forward that was there that just separated was Zach Hyman. And I got to tell you, in the 14 years that I've done the games, the best free agent signing Edmonton's had has been Zach Hyman, and it's not even close. And
nothing I would ever say bad about the guy. He's a great person and player. Like, I think the thing that stands out to me most about Hyman was, so he was a Florida draft pick. And I remember Toronto traded for him. Florida was going to let him go, and the Maple Leafs traded for him and to bring him into their organization. And I remember at the time people saying to me, well, he's only got drafted because he played with Dylan Larkin. And if he wasn't on the same line as Dylan Larkin at the University of Michigan, he wouldn't even be on anyone's radar. And, you know, Hyman he worked. And, you know, he's like the best compliment that anyone ever, that I always thought about Sidney Crosby was, He's a superstar with a fourth liner's mentality. And, you know, Hyman obviously is not the same level as Sidney Crosby, but he's always had that mentality. He's never lost it. Like, he's even if he's become more successful and he just, you know, obviously hits it out of the park in free agency with you guys and the Oilers, he hasn't changed him at all. He still treats himself as a guy who's battling to make it. His attitude has never changed. The way he plays has never changed. The way he takes care of himself has never changed. And I think that's contagious. I think that, you know, McDavid works, man. Like, when your best player works like McDavid does, the more people you bring in with that attitude, the better your group is, and you can see it.
Yeah, the inclusiveness with his teammates. I mean, we're on the bus, but it's periphery. We're not in the room, but you can just tell the infectiousness of his nature. And it's funny, when he got drafted in Florida, he was one of two guys in that 2010 draft that people sort of raised some eyebrows. I remember Ben Gallagher, the son of Bill Gallagher, the former owner of the Portland Winterhawks, and I was saying to myself, they want these two families to buy the team? Like, those jokes were out there at that draft. And I wanted the Oilers to take Brendan Gallagher, and Ben Gallagher went before him that year. And I was like, come on, Tammy, step up and take Brendan Gallagher. It's just funny. But man, oh man, he's just, and it doesn't surprise you. And would it surprise you at this stage if they're sitting there with that Olympic committee for Team Canada and they're down to maybe 16, 17 forwards? My guess is he's still in the mix to potentially make the team, Elliot.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think he's in the conversation. Why wouldn't he be?
Yeah. Just one of those guys.
Like, why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't he be high on your radar? I think the other thing, too, is it's like, you know, he can play with McDavid, right? And if he's just, say, for example, he's not a guy who plays a ton, he's not going to bitch about it. He's not going to whine like the radio guy, the radio color guy, who can't get any words in edgewise, but we don't know anybody like that.
Oh, I got to read a text coming up about that, but I hear it all the time. It's so true. It's absolutely true. Well, no, I get a lot. People say I talk too much during the broadcast. I digress
I'm
for a second.
I'm just kidding with you, Bob. Come on.
Oh, no. Elliot, they get it. By the way, is this a big weekend for Western Ontario Mustang football? Do they make it to the Vanier Cup
final? Yeah, big game against Saskatchewan Huskies. Big game.
This will be the one and only time I'm going to cheer for the Huskies.
I understand that. Well, you know, I got a lot. Like, I'll cheer for Western, as you know, but I got a lot of time for Scott Flory. I covered him when I did the CFL on CBC, and he was always a great guy to deal with. So I wouldn't like it if Western lost, but I wouldn't be upset at seeing a guy like Scott Flory win.
Brian Tauris won twice. Top of my head, I know they won in 98. Calgary won in...
It was 19. The second one they won was 1991. Because they lost the first one ever at the Dome. That was Western Saskatchewan, and Western beat them 35-10. That was my first year as a student at Western. Okay. And then I believe actually the next year, they beat St. Mary's in the final. Chris Flynn, great game.
Yeah, that might have been Brett Schneider's quarterback at Saskatchewan for BT, Brian Tauris. When I was
Brent Schneider was later. Brent Schneider was later because they beat Western, or I think actually Western beat them 50-40 in overtime. That was an unbelievable Vanier Cup. That was there later. That was later in the 90s. They had another guy. I think his name was like David Earle or something like that. They won. They beat St. Mary's to win the national championship.
They won. The Canada West won four straight when they just had the five teams, 95, 96, 97, 98. Calgary, UBC won in 97. Calgary won in 95.
They destroyed Western, I think. That was Don Blair.
And you know who's, we'll circle back to hockey in the Canadian World Junior program, but Brett Leeson. His dad, Daryl Leeson, briefly went to Calgary, and I can't believe they didn't win more Vanier, because he was the best Canadian quarterback I ever saw by a mile. So Saskatchewan won twice under Brian Tauris. We'll see what happens this weekend. Alberta's got some work to do. The Elks have some work to do. And Bethel Thompson not available.
How about this story in Toronto about the...
It's crazy.
About the quarantine. And now I guess... They just announced that if he stays at home, he'll be able to play. Oh, man. People are going crazy.
Well, if David Naylor is
I got to tell you this.
He's going
to
be
if
on.
If your ownership asks you to do something and you're ineligible because of it, like, I have no rooting interest in this. I grew up cheering for the Argos, but I have no rooting interest in this. You can't take a guy out of a game because of that.
I'm 100% in agreement. Good luck this weekend against the Huskies. I'll bet you 7-up for down the road.
All right, where are you guys this weekend? Because you're not playing.
I'm in Seattle right now. Yeah, we're in Seattle.
You're playing there tonight. That's right. Of course, I forgot.
And then we fly back immediately following the game, and we get Todd McClellan and the LA Kings on Sunday.
Nice.
There you go. Thanks, Elliot. Great stuff.
All right, Bob. Have a great weekend. Enjoy Seattle.
You bet. That is Elliot Freeman from NHL Hockey and Rogers for Mid-City Construction. Some guests and Oilers now receive gift certificates to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse, whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town. Every meal is an occasion at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It's the greatest steak you've ever had. 9990 Jasper Avenue. Tell Brendan, Taylor, and Chris at Oilers Now sent you. And you know what? In about 3 hours' time, we're going to have an Oilers Now get-together with our New West Travel crew here in Seattle at about 4 o'clock Edmonton time. But we've got an awesome road trip coming up for you in April. It is in Music City, Smashville, Smash Vegas, Nash Vegas, Tennessee to see the Oilers play the Preds. This package includes exclusive non-stop flights with Flair Airlines, 4 nights in a deluxe hotel. That's right. You're on your own private charter flying down there. Great game ticket, welcome reception with special guests, all for just $1,750. You can join in the Nashville road trip. Call New West Travel 780-432-7446 or online at newwesttravel.com. We're going to blow right through a break there. Sorry, Brendan. We'll go off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell at 1 o'clock and a 105 Sportsnet spec Mark Spector for the horses and horse racing Alberta.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.